Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Home mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Yet another weekend and another exciting bunch of fights where everyone wants to fight Conor McGregor is essentially what happened over the weekend.
Well, I want to stop you right there. Thank all my sponsors and challenge Conor McGregor before we get the show going.
Okay, good. Well, we want to add you to the list.
209, what?
Add you to the list of the people that are fighting. So I don't really know where to start here, but we can start with 209 if we want to.
Let's do this. Let's start with what we thought was going to happen before the card actually started. And what we thought was going to happen and what we were told essentially by Conor's management was that he was going to move up and he was going to fight the champion in the next division. He was going to fight the winner of Cerrone and Dos Anjos.
Sure.
So let's start there. That's what we allegedly had confirmed for us on the Friday or this early Saturday before the fight.
Yes, and that what was interesting, though, is I don't know if you listened to Shab and Brian Callen's Fighter and the Kid, but prior to the fight, Brendan Shab was saying, yeah, that's great that Conor wants to move up to 155. Let me tell you how this is going to work. If Cerrone wins, McGregor screams about how he's going up to 155 to take that belt. If RDA wins, at no point is he going to scream about going up to get the belt. And what do we have here? Well, we have, and it's only been confirmed by Nick and Nate Diaz, but they both said to Ariel Helwani that they had talked to Joe Silva, and he is fighting, Nate Diaz, in fact, is fighting Conor McGregor at 155.
55?
I believe so.
Okay.
I mean, that's where Nate was fighting, and in neither one of those interviews did I hear anybody talk about going down.
I'm just clarifying. This weight class thing is screwing me up because he wants to fight everybody.
He does want to fight everybody, but what's really two things about this is, number one, I don't know why he would go up to fight Nate Diaz. That said, I'm not undercutting the fact that Nate's performance against Michael Johnson was nothing short of being out for over a year, nothing short of spectacular. Mm-hmm. It was a spectacular dismantling of a number five ranked guy at lightweight. That puts Nate, I think, in contention for talking about the title. But I don't understand why. And you know, you and I might differ in this question mark, but I don't think that Conor McGregor, and I know you said this last week, but I don't know that Conor McGregor needs to take on a guy who was ranked 15th 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Before he takes that title fight. Now, you and I both talked. You think if he doesn't defend the belt, he has to do a tune-up at 55 to get the title shot. I'm not necessarily here to split hairs about that. I just don't know that Nate Diaz is the guy.
No, I don't know either. I mean, we talked a little bit about the fact on Facebook that he might be jumping up, and that's essentially what he wanted to do. And then a lot of people calling him out saying, hey, if he's not going to defend his title at 145, take it from him. And I essentially land in that same camp as some people online. If you're not going to defend the, I think the defense of the belt is too pronged in its requirements. One is, so if you actually want to try to keep that belt and say you're going to be a two belt champion, you've got to defend it first. Secondly,
even if he signs to fight at UFC 200, either McGregor or Aldo, even if he signs right now and says, yeah, I'll do that fight.
Who's going to sign?
McGregor. Like if Kavanaugh, his trainer, said to Ariel Helwani that the idea was they wanted to fight in April or March or April. At 55,
right.
And then again in July at 200.
And I understand that's his intent, but I think until you do that, I think that's one prong of it. The other prong is, okay, if you want a title shot, let's see you defend the belt in the lower weight class. Because okay. What you're going to have, you'd have a decent money fight with Nate Diaz. I mean, the Diaz name, I don't know how much they've been getting what they can. I mean, how many times did we hear him mistakenly called Nick over the past 3 days? Because,
right?
I mean, that's
yes.
Essentially what UFC's selling here. It's like,
yes.
Oh, you like a Diaz? Here's the one we got. I know we fired him for a little while, but we really like him now because the other one got suspended.
Right. Here's a Diaz. Enjoy.
I mean, sure, that'd be a decent money fight. I don't know where he ended up in the rankings. I'd have to look after that fight.
They still have till today at 3 to turn that in.
So, I mean, he'll jump a couple spots, but like you said, yeah, he was 15th 3 days ago. This is not going to be a situation where I believe like GSP and BJ Penn were fighting and BJ Penn didn't have to vacate the title. Well, BJ Penn, he had fought, won a lot of big fights. He went up and down. He went up in weight class. to try to fight for that title. He didn't have to vacate the lower one. But again, that was BJ Penn. And, I'd have to go back and look at the timeline. Even if he hadn't defended that belt.
Oh, I'm sure he had.
He had defended other belts numerous times.
Without even looking, I'm sure he's defended it before he did that.
So what you have here is a situation where I think Jose Aldo is getting a little bit, he's getting screwed a little bit. And he's not getting that immediate rematch, which, I think he earned with all of the fights that he had.
If you're going to do, this is what we talked about last week, just to reset. If you're giving Ronda a rematch,
yep.
If you're giving Henan Barao a rematch,
if you gave Anderson Silva that rematch,
Anderson
or John
Silva
Jones after
a rematch,
he's suspended,
right?
Basically, an immediate title shot. You give Jose Aldo a shot,
and the list goes on. I mean, Dominic Cruz, anytime he comes back, immediate rematch, mm-hmm. right? If you're giving all these guys rematches, then Aldo gets it, and certainly, regardless of my feelings, you certainly could convince me that Weidman would get one if he wants it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that was a much more handled fight by Luke Rockhold than was, again, I'm not going to say it's a fluke. A fight's a fight. That's part of the fighting game. But it certainly was a quick knockout, and it didn't leave a lot there. I mean, we don't really know what those two would end up looking like if they got into a scrap, and that's what I find really interesting. The other thing, too, is if you want to talk about this Diaz fight being a bad fight for Conor McGregor because of the rankings and where that situation ends up, is I think Diaz would have the best movement out of any dude that Conor's fought.
We're saying
That weird Diaz, like, my head's never in a line, and I'm peppering you while I'm moving around. And that kind of thing, I think, would annoy the hell out of Conor McGregor. Because let's remember that fight against Mendez again. You know, he won that fight, but he was getting clipped here and there, and he just didn't like the movement. And that's, Nate Diaz is that times 100 plus 10 more pounds and at a heavier division. And, I don't think Conor McGregor is a guy that's going to want to get peppered. He was moused up and cut by a guy he knocked out in 14 seconds.
Right.
So let's not forget that. If you think he seems like a guy, and this has been said about some of the European fighters, sometimes they can get cut easily. It's those strong jawlines you folks have, Eric, and your very pronounced and manly eyebrows.
Yes, all of those things.
But I mean, wow! Can you imagine what Conor McGregor would look like after a round with Nate Diaz if Nate Diaz is able to just punch him like he punches a lot of other fighters?
I think it becomes a very interesting fight. And I think, to your point, one thing that the Diaz brothers have done consistently in their inconsistency, right? Because Nate's a guy who loses as many as he wins, but he comes to fight. He's a guy that ruins it for everybody, right? He was the underdog into this fight. He was 15th. Michael Johnson was 5 or 6. And he goes in there and just destroys Michael Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're left with one of two things. Either this Conor thing is real or not real. I don't really care. But you're left with a guy that now you have to do something with.
Oh, for sure.
And
they do want to do something with him. I mean, he's going to draw some dollars. I mean, you can't put him in there against Dos Anjos because that was his last fight he lost. A catch fight. There was a catch weight there because Diaz missed weight, so they're not going to let him have a title shot there. But, I mean, now you, like you said, you have to do something with him at 155.
And you have to get him off Fox, guys. I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. He fights RDA, and he's flipping off the camera live on Fox. Then you forget, you have, like, this revisionist history where you forget that that's what he did the last time he was on Fox. So what do you do this time? Here's a live mic, dude, where he drops 845 F-bombs and then apologizes afterwards as if that's his only mode of communication. And so that's what I mean, like, now you got to do something with him. Imagine if by hook or by crook something happens and he becomes your champ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do with that guy?
I think he's perfect. Come on, you want a guy with attitude. There's guys out there.
But he has to be
Mike
able.
Mike Tyson was insane.
Yeah, but at least he could.
Talking about eating people all the time and literally tried to eat a guy.
You could get him on TV. Like, I understand the
You really couldn't. I think you're thinking of cartoon Mike Tyson. Dude's literally got a cartoon. He was in The Hangover. You couldn't put him on TV before. You put that dude on a delay because he was insane.
Okay.
Talking about banging your girlfriend and your mother and making him like it.
Fine. Whatever.
You're revisionist Tyson history.
I am,
man.
Probably maybe a little bit. But what I'm saying is, okay, so he gets on Fox. He drops every single F-bomb that you can come up with, any derivative therein of the F-bomb. Then goes on with Ariel Helwani on MMA Fighting and gives essentially the same speech apologizing for said F-bombs, but peppers it with F-bombs. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know. This is my point. Like, putting Connor against him, and I'm not discounting Connor because that's what we always do, and he seems to come out on top. I do, however, think this is a really interesting fight, and the UFC is going to have to do something with Diaz, and either that's Connor as a tune-up fight at 55 to see if he can do 55, or you've got to put him against Cerrone, or you've got to put him back up against RDA, although I'm agreeing with you. I don't think that's the next step.
We're talking about Diaz right now.
Yes.
Not Connor.
Yeah.
So,
well, because clearly Connor does not want to. You have not seen anyone yelling about Rafael Dos Anjos right now.
No, I think that's really interesting
like,
too. Because like
nobody
you said,
is running around saying screaming that.
Well, and you said that too. And you know he's being coy with it. Now he's saying line up and beg if you want the shot. Rafael Dos Anjos isn't going to beg the shot. He's going to keep defending his belt. You want his belt. You want to keep talking about it. You're going to have to go to him. And I think that's the way his camp's going to play it. Like they're where they are. They're not at this point. They know the money's with the Connor fight, but they're going to do what they have to do within the division, because if he keeps winning and Connor wants to keep talking about coming up, this is going to go more and more and more in favor of the perception being, well, Connor's scared of him. He keeps talking about going up. It's the same thing. Nobody really thinks Cyborg wanted to cut that weight
sure.
and go down to Ronda, because she never did. And as soon as Ronda lost the belt, oh, never mind, I'm not going to cut. Well, don't you still want that fight? You talked a lot of crap. She's going to get a championship rematch. Why aren't you cutting the weight to get to that fight? That's still a money fight. Nobody really thinks she's going to do it at this point, because she chirp, 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 chirp all day. There was no action. Now, we're not there yet with Conor McGregor, but he's certainly, you know, coming out of his championship win. Dana White saying he's going up. And then, like you said, a lot of talk right before they saw what Rafael did. And now it's like, oh, you'll all have to beg me for the next fight. Nobody's begging you, because you know what? UFC is going to make a fight for you.
The guy that's going to beg is Frankie Edgar, which is not at 55. It's at 45, right?
Right.
Edgar wants that fight, and I think he should get it. If it's not going to be Jose and you're not going to go up, it's got to be Edgar. I don't know that Diaz. This is where I would land. I don't know that Diaz is the fight. As interesting as that would be,
mm-hmm.
I think it's unfair to the three people at play right now, which is RDA, Aldo.
I don't have any issue. With any guys that are at lightweight being snubbed or not snubbed on this fight. Like RDA, it's a non-factor. He's got other dudes on the list
right now.
Again,
what I'm saying,
I want to see that Nurmagomedov fight at some point.
No? Can he get healthy? Well, yeah, sure. Can he be healthy for 5 minutes?
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Like, if he can be healthy for 5 minutes, I think everybody wants to see that fight. Every single human being wants to see that fight.
Tony Ferguson took a big jump after his win last week.
There's a line of people that can fight Rafael Dos Anjos. What I'm saying is, I don't know, and I get why Diaz is doing it, but I don't know in the universe that we're working in, I don't know that we need to add another variable to what Conor McGregor is going to do. If he's going up to 55, it should be a title fight. If he's staying at 45, which I think he should, because I think it should be Aldo, and I think it should be at 200, and then after that could be Edgar if he defends that belt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that Diaz should be the next fight. That seems weird to me.
Well, I mean, you've got the interest, though, in all these fighters. The more ways you can connect Conor McGregor to your divisions and your fighters right now, the better if you're the UFC. Because then you get to talk about, let's say it's Dos Anjos, and I'm going to put Tony in there. He's top five right
now. Okay, fine.
Let's say that they go that route. There's a couple other guys in there you can make your arguments for. But let's just say that guy had a big win, up a couple spots in the rankings, Rafael Dos Anjos. Well, all of a sudden, you've got this fight, which I think you and I would admit, even being a fight of Tony, isn't the biggest headlining fight in the world for a championship fight.
No,
but
interesting, but not the big one.
But what does that become if Conor McGregor's still chirping about that title? Well, this guy's going to fight Conor next. Now what's going to happen? That association with that level is good for that division. And
but
if
don't
Conor
you, but,
fights Diaz, he keeps in that conversation
okay.
there. And again, I don't think he should.
But if he loses to Diaz.
See, and that's the bugaboo about all this is, you know, this is what we talked about with Ronda Rousey a little bit before she went on her tear. Like, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen once she loses that aura of invincibility. Is the Ronda Rousey era over at that point? And we still really haven't answered that question. I mean, we'll talk about that more, obviously, but she's going to get her rematch. She's still trying to do movies. If your biggest reason was you were exhausted, by the way. And that's why you lost your life. Why are you still doing movies if
well,
this
okay,
is what your fighting game is
going
to be?
To be fair, to reset, she did not say that. Dana said that.
Well,
right? Dana said
the
excuse.
What's coming up? is some more movies. I'm just
No. What I'm saying is, what,
so the, should the Conor McGregor do some more movies?
The exhausted part came from Dana, not
right.
from her. Right?
Right. No,
she's not the one
that.
Running around making excuses. I just want to be very clear.
No, no,
about
no. She
that,
didn't make excuses.
That she is not the one doing that. So let's talk about Javier Dos Anjos beating Donald Cerrone in 1:06 in an absolutely. There were three spectacular fights on this card, and this was one of them. What was really interesting, and Matt Sicaro, I believe is how you pronounce his name on Twitter, had an interesting take this morning, saying that it seems to him that Cerrone almost talks himself out of these big fights mm-hmm. as if he doesn't deserve to be there. Because what's really, and when you think about that statement, what's really interesting is Cerrone is highly susceptible to those body kicks. Like, that's when he gets powered down and loses those fights, and he did nothing in this fight to protect his body from those kicks. So Rafael Dos Anjos was able to power him down and win that fight.
Now, after what we saw with Chris Weidman in his championship fight, and again, it wasn't the champions, basically, it wasn't giving the champion the benefit of the doubt there. It would be giving the challenger. Do you think that fight was stopped too early?
I agree with Cerrone. It doesn't matter. I 1,000%, he would still have finished it.
Okay.
Would still have finished it. I don't think
it
matters.
You think he should have been given more of a chance there? Because I was a little disappointed that it didn't seem as definitive. And I always think that's shortchanging your champion in some of those regards. Doesn't have to go as far as Weidman.
Right.
But it certainly,
thank God.
It certainly looked... Well, and I was watching the fight with a casual observer, and she's kind of watching. She's like, well, it's ended? She's like, yeah, he was beating him up, but it didn't look any different than before. And he's got his hands around his head. And I guess we're going to, this might be our new thing for 2016, is trying to find that line where
it's the NFL version of the catch, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What's a catch in the NFL? What's a finish in the UFC?
What's a finish in the UFC? And you know, and it's just like the catch in the NFL. We don't seem to get any consistency. So
right.
We argue about it every week.
And
can we agree? Maybe the finish is between Weidman and what happened with Donald Cerrone.
Look, I'm not going to argue with you that if we went 30 seconds or 40 seconds longer, that I would be like, okay, it's Donald Cerrone. He's a game opponent. He's been in there. And, mm-hmm. you know, he clearly wasn't knocked out. He was knocked down and then finished on the ground. That said, I'm the guy that wants these guys to be a little bit safer. So if it gets stopped what is conceived to be a bit early, I'm okay with that. I would not be mad if it went a little bit longer, but I'm okay with it because I don't think it would have mattered. It still would have been over.
Now, I think you're right in that regard. I think, and I think Cerrone admitted that as well. It just didn't matter in that case. I found a very interesting contrast, and you have to wonder too. I mean, let's go back to the NFL reference. Those refs are getting worked well up to the game time when a coach is doing a press conference and talking about another team, and they like to grab or they like to do this. You get in a ref's ear, and you know everybody was in their ears. After what had happened the week before, everybody
sure.
talking about the Weidman fight. Like, what is going on here? So you got to wonder, too, if that had anything to do with not only that fight, but the Overeem fight, which I thought was a pretty clear early stoppage. You know, is it going to change what's going to happen? I want to say no, but you just don't know, especially with a guy like Junior Dos Santos.
You just don't know. I guess what I would say to that, though, is I don't want that, again, that's not on Overeem, and I don't want that stoppage to take away from the fact that that was the best Overeem you've seen in the UFC ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He was crisp. He was clean. He looked as good as he did against Brock.
He was patient.
And Brock was, we know at this point, he was like 50% of
yes.
what he was before, and he was never a striker and, you know, never one of those dudes that had come up in MMA. He was just kind of a physical freak. This was as good as Alistair has looked. You know, I'm a little bothered by the stoppage, not only because of the way it looked. I mean, and this was one of those two. Fighters are always going to argue. Junior, there was no flash knockout, and he argued. There was nothing. It didn't look like Junior was really even down when they called the fight. And he was basically standing up like, what's going on? He's like, and you know, and you could see him look at the clock. Like, I knew I had 15 more seconds to make it.
Sure.
That's literally all he had, I think. I think it was like 4:40 something. It was when the fight got called. So I've got a little more of a problem with that for those two reasons. One, it didn't look like he was actually out. He was moving around. He was squirrely, got caught. All of those things happen. I'm not denying that. But you also have a man who's been in there numerous times for the belt, who's been in championship big level fights, and he clearly was cognizant of the clock, because that was the first thing he did, was kind of look at the clock. Like,
sure.
All I had to do was move around for 15 seconds. Why are you stopping this fight? Like, all I had to do was withstand 15 seconds of punishment or defend myself. You know, you could tell that was all kind of going through Dos Santos's mind when that fight got stopped. Like, what the hell just happened? there's like 20 seconds left at most that I had to get through.
Right.
Like he'd gotten through clipped and getting caught. I mean, I think he had actually gotten through that part. Overeem's best chance to finish the fight wasn't actually when he finished the fight. He finished it about 20 seconds later. And I thought that was an early stoppage. And, you know, I don't know what you do at this point. The heavyweight division is very interesting because a lot of these guys are so tight up. I mean, if you're beating the former champion, yeah, you're in that championship discussion all of a sudden. And he's a guy you're going to have to pay, though, to do it. Like, are you going to pay him? Because, I mean, he went in there and, you know, my hat's off to him. And he's a guy, we said this last week, he's a guy that tends to kind of mess things up because you never know which dude's showing up.
Well, and he messed
up. But he was motivated.
He messed it up two ways, right? He that was his last fight.
That's his last fight. That's what I mean. He was motivated and he knew he didn't have a fight and or a contract after this fight. So he wanted to prove that he should be in there with those top four or five guys. And he proved it. He beat the number junior was two because Cain still won, right?
Yes. Yep.
So he beat the number two guy in the world, the guy we thought would fight for the championship next after we had the next fight for the championship. Now he's out of that picture. And you might finally be done with having to see Junior and Cain fight 10 times.
I don't know that that's...
Unless Cain takes a rough loss, too, then they'll be kind of...
Cain might take a... Cain could take a rough loss.
Well, Fabricio's not a rough loss. If he loses, I wouldn't be surprised.
It could be a rough loss. It could be a rough night for Cain.
Rankings-wise, if we took it rankings-wise,
rankings-wise, for sure. It's not something...
Like if Roy Nelson comes on and beats Cain Velasquez, then...
Well, and I guess to what you're saying is I'm not necessarily saying that Cain JDS 27 is off the table because, again... I don't know.
We got a little breathing room.
Got a little breathing room for sure. But I mean, like you said, it's pretty tight up there with guys that are hyper talented versus guys that are just, let's call them talented. And some of that comes in twofold. One, the discussion that we've had that there is no super heavy versus heavy. So there's a weight disparity between some of these guys that mm-hmm. becomes hard to manage for some fighters. And I guess as we're talking this out loud, I'm wondering if, and I would have to go back and watch all 16 of these Fox cards versus any sort of pay-per-view mm-hmm. and think, is there any precedent to those fights all being stopped early because they're on a network?
I don't know. You could certainly think that might come into play. I'd really be surprised because we've had some bloody fights on Fox too. We had a was that massacre we saw that I forget who was fighting in that one and it was bloody.
Yeah, but I don't know. You can't stop a fight because there's blood.
No, you can't. But I think I guess that would go to more of a point of when you're in the moment, you're in the cage, you're fighting, you don't remember what TV network this is on.
I mean, like, does the ref, though?
That's what I mean. Okay. I'm thinking even the ref. Sure, he's cognizant of it somewhat, but I don't think his job really changes. I mean, the best refs and the most consistent refs, and to be fair, the UFC's got most of them and gets most of them a lot of the time. I mean, they're assigned by commissions and whatnot. But, I mean, the most consistent refs, you'll see them act exactly the same in your bar league, fight league, down the road, and then in the UFC.
Yeah, but after you get done with those three refs that you can put in that right. bucket, the rest of it is just as bad as some of the judging.
But I think consistency would still lead them to not really be concerned with what's on network television. And again, I don't know. You and I both know that you can get into a corporate environment like that, and all of a sudden things change 1,000%. So maybe there's something to that. I think it would be more a recognition of what had happened before and with the outcry with the Weidman fight.
Sure.
Then it would be the fact that they were on network TV.
But isn't that worse? Because again, you're absolutely 100% into this what's a catch in the NFL discussion. Because if the pendulum's going to swing from week to week where, okay, now we're going to beat a man bloody because we feel he's a champion and can get back, so he takes three more minutes of punishment or whatever that was. Now there's going to be outcry. Even from Dana White and the Fertittas, like, that shouldn't have gone that long. So now the refs mm-hmm. are going to, okay, whoop, now we're going to swing back over here, where if anybody gets punched in the head, we're going to call the fight. You know, at what point does it right the ship and you get right sort of into a little bit more of a middle world where, you know, to compare the two, I'm more accepting of what happened to Cerrone than I am to JDS because I agree with you. I think it needed to be a little bit more definitive. But I don't want that stoppage to take away from the mastery of what Overeem put together.
No, Overeem did great. I mean, he clearly won that round. It could, you know, when we talk more about 10-8s, I mean, even if that round had just ended the way it had, where Dos Santos was just kind of flailing a bit and trying to defend himself for 20 seconds, if you would want to call that a 10-8 round, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, he dominated that round. Junior Dos Santos at no point looked like he was threatening Alistair Overeem. If you're watching this fight and you've got no background in MMA, you thought Alistair Overeem was leagues ahead of the other dude in there, not realizing that other guy had been a champion in the UFC and had competed for a championship numerous times. So it was a hand. It was he handled him. I mean, I don't want to say easily, but it looked like he handled him easily.
Well, and I think part of that comes, Ken, from the patience, right? The reason that Overeem was getting in trouble, I believe, is one, I think the past abuse of his body, it probably took a while to adjust himself to the new forms of testing, right? Like, and I'm not saying anything disparaging. He's been tagged and it's been documented, right? As you get to these new forms of testing, I think it takes a minute for you to adjust your body to react naturally in a more natural state. So now we have this performance that I feel, one, spotlights what he's always been a master at, and two, was extremely patient. He wasn't leaning in. He wasn't leading with his chin. He wasn't keeping his head on the center line. He wasn't rushing in to finish those fights or those exchanges, I should say, and then finish the fight. He was very patient and making sure that every strike counted, much in the same way that Diaz was with Michael Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Diaz didn't try and finish that fight at any point. He just outpointed him and powered him down until that fight was over.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it. I was in Chicago this weekend. I was watching it with my mom, oddly enough, who, when that fight's over, looks at me and goes, "I don't get it. The guy whose eye is swelled shut and looks like he went through a meat grinder is the winner, and the other guy doesn't have a mark on his face." I go, "Yeah, but he landed 647 punches to 12. That's the fight game. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't always get a knockdown, but you can win essentially on outboxing your opponent."
So what do you do next with Overeem?
Overeem is, you're going to talk him into a title shot.
You think so?
How do you not put him in a title shot? What else would he have to do? Because Cain's currently wrapped up right now.
Yeah.
And if Verdum...
When do we get that? February?
Is that February or March?
I'm not sure.
Are you looking it up right now?
Oh, I can.
You look it up right now.
Yeah,
so
I'll do that.
You get Cain and Verdum 2. Please do that work. And once that's over, let's say, you know, we've got the X factor of, are both guys injured? Is one guy injured? Are any guys injured? And if both guys are injured, then we have a different discussion. But if Verdum goes in and smashes Cain, or Cain goes in and smashes Verdum, and it ends in a minute or 2 minutes, there's no point at that point, unless it's controversial. If it's clean, I don't know that you need to finish the trilogy right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where Overeem can be injected, and that would be the point of fighting out your contract and renegotiating.
Yeah, I think...
Because I don't think you want Reem going to Bellator after beating JDS.
No, I don't think so. And I think you've got a couple of interesting fights up there. I mean, I know Arlovski didn't look interesting against Mir, so maybe that's what you do. A lot of folks were mad that that fight wasn't as dominant as it should have been, because I remember we were talking about that fight when it happened with Arlovski and Mir being a title eliminator, depending on how these rematches worked out with Velasquez and Verdum. And obviously, you know, it wasn't a pretty fight, and it wasn't a pretty win for Andrei Arlovski. So maybe that's it. You let the two old school guys go at it, and maybe that winner gets a title shot. So there's a couple options up there. I mean, has Overeem ever fought Stipe? He could fight him. I don't know.
I guess, but if you go from number 9 to beat number 2, do you really have to fight 3 or 4?
Well, yeah, because he's going to be in the mix at this point. It's still a fight, and... Do you think he jumps right to a title shot after beating number 2? He's going to have to take another fight, I think, because we're not going to see those two fight until March.
But if I'm remembering correctly, I believe that Stipe has a fight, right?
I'm just looking at the rankings, trying to figure things out. Travis Brown is still up there, and I know that he lost to Travis Brown. Does he have to go get that win back? I mean, there's a couple options. The good thing about heavyweight is, like, you usually have some options like that that can be fun fights if both guys show up.
So Stipe and Andre are fighting January 2 on the Lawler card.
Oh, that's right. They're making him do that.
So that
winner fights Alistair. That's simple. Let's do that.
So when is the Cain fight? Did you say that already?
Likely March. We don't have a set date yet.
So, okay, I'm with you on this one. So Stipe, no,
finally,
no,
302 episodes.
I like the philosophy here. So, because the timing works out, Stipe and Andre fight, winner fights Overeem on the undercard of that fight case anybody gets injured.
Right.
Because I think you'd be fine with any of those guys going into
slide
the,
those
into
in
the
for
dance
a championship
card.
Fight.
I think that's what you do. Is that card finished, though?
Which one?
The Kane one, or is that still...
That's not even... I don't think that's even officially announced. It just there's been comments from Dana White about that being in March, I believe. We're not officializing, I know, noticed, a lot of these cards as quickly as we used to. Probably an effect of some of these cards being demolished in 2015
right.
by injuries and other things. Because we don't have an official Overeem, or excuse me, Velasquez Verdum 2 set up, but it's likely March.
So here is one from this month, though, that says they might move it to Super Bowl weekend.
Well, that would change everything as far as that goes.
If they can't get it in Brazil in March.
So
we're running out of time to figure that out.
Isn't that very interesting? Because we used to be able to lay these cards out 4 months out.
Well,
see what was going to happen.
Remember last year around this time, or maybe it was probably March this time. Remember they had that whole calendar thing that you guys could download?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a thing anymore. they don't want you download. They don't want anything written down quite yet. So timing wise.
Yeah, that I mean it's not on
if
a.
You put that in March. Maybe that works out as far as winner fights Alistair Overeem. If not, maybe Overeem jumps right to close to a title shot. I don't know. Let's see what happens. We'll see what happens on January 2nd because Stipe and Arlovski fighting is going to clean up that end of the division.
Sure.
And then you're going to decide how high a guy like Overeem jumps from number 9 when he beat the number 2 guy. Because you got to figure he goes against the guy he just beat. Or do folks that are doing these rankings now say, well, yeah, he beat that guy, but I still think that's a better fighter, so I still put him here, which we've seen happen in divisions before.
Well, that was what Damian Maia was talking about last weekend, right? Is that like he beats everybody and he goes down in the rankings somehow and nobody can explain it.
Somehow there's other people still above him at that point. And get it. That would piss you off. Yeah, right now we've got this listed on Wiki, and I don't know if this is an official listing, is February 6th is what we're going to look at for Verdum Velasquez 2. So, I mean, you let those fights all shake out, and then you take another look at the division.
So
maybe
May, April, May?
I mean, this may be fortuitous enough for Overeem. What he wants to root for at this point, Overeem, a really bad win by either Stipe.
I mean, if Andre does the same thing he did against Mir, I think you look. I mean, it's no different than when you look at the Yoel Romero Jacare card, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you and I were both like, I mean, I guess one of those guys could fight, but it wasn't a great fight. Mm-hmm. I think you could argue that maybe that middle round was 10-10 and thus it was a draw, right? If that happens, I think, Overeem's the guy.
And Overeem's the guy. And, you know, essentially he's only a month off of that card. I mean, we're a week before Christmas, so let's call it 6 weeks. We're 6 weeks essentially the Super Bowl weekend,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, 6 weeks, not a huge amount of disparity in timing as far as maybe trying to set up another fight, depending on who would win that fight, too. I think if it were Verdum, you would really see him want to turn around quicker because they want to get that championship role kind of going. We saw that with Chris Weidman. Like, after he beat Anderson twice, okay, you're on a schedule now, man. You're the champ. You're going to keep going. I think that's what we'd see if Verdum's able to win again against Velasquez is, okay, you're on, like, in 3 months. Go. You're on. And you know, that's not too long for Overeem to wait. I mean, he'd had 4 or 5 months breaks traditionally anyways. So I think we'd see a relatively quick turnaround at this point. I think that the ideal thing for UFC with the pay-per-views, too, is to get these guys, you know, going at 90 days, going at 120 days at most in between their championship fights.
That would be so awesome.
I mean, I don't think you want to wait much longer. I mean, if you've got a guy who's a draw and who can really, you know, pop a card, cool. And I'm not saying that Kane isn't a draw and Verdum isn't a draw, but, I mean, that heavyweight division, not as sexy as it used to be. So, you know, Weidman. You were turning him around, I think, in 4 months after that. I'd have to go look things up. But, he's been pretty much one of the most consistent fighters in the championship division other than Ronda Rousey. And that's what you're going to have to start looking at, especially in instances where you have your guy that's the contender. That is basically, okay, he's off 6 weeks waiting to see what happens here at this point. And again, I'm not saying he's the championship guy, but he's certainly one of your contenders. So when you're spacing everything out, you keep having fighters fight each other and they knock each other out of the system, which essentially is what we just saw with Junior Dos Santos. And he had to keep busy and he had to take another fight, but that can't be how anybody expected that to go.
No. Well, I mean, he was the favored by a lot.
Right. He was favored by a lot and he was going to go get his rematch against
one of them.
Well, even if Velasquez loses, he gets a rematch and gets another title shot after that, or he might go right after the title if Velasquez had won. So it's an interesting dynamic to really look at from the UFC's perspective is you've got to find a way to keep these fights happening. You don't want to, you can't, you're not fixing fights. You're not setting them up so some guy necessarily wins. But timing wise, I think they could do a better job because sometimes, and this goes back why a lot of people were upset what I said about Holly Holm. I think that's the perfect move for them. You got to quit doing fights just to do fights. Sometimes the draw, the interest, and the box office is going to be there for you in a more consistent manner if you'll just wait a little bit. And you know what? They're telling her, you got to wait a little bit here. And, you know, Alistair Overeem, I don't think you'd have a problem waiting a little bit here.
Yeah, I think the difference being Alistair Overeem is a fan favorite that people are excited to see, which is why he's on a Fox card. I think the reason myself and some others wanted to take umbrage with you a little bit on this and want the Miesha Tate fight is because prior to the Ronda fight, that was why it was so surprising, is half of the MMA fans on Earth didn't even know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that, I mean, yes, all variables aside, I understand that a lot could go wrong against Miesha Tate. Totally get it. I think the reason some of us thought that that was interesting is because it would be another chance to be exposed to Holly Holm prior to the rematch. That was all. I get what you're saying. I get why it's the big money rematch. It absolutely is. But I think when you've got a fighter that people are like, I'm sorry, who beat Ronda Rousey?
Mm-hmm.
That there is some discussion, at least we all lost, we know that. Mm-hmm. There is some discussion at least that having her fight somebody else big like a Miesha Tate only helps, if she wins that fight, only helps build the legendary status.
Yeah, but I mean, I think too, if you get into a situation, and again, you don't want to set up fights necessarily just so your champ keeps winning, but you got to root for some roles. I mean, let's say Chris Weidman had taken the Luke Rockhold fight after that second Anderson Silva win, and again, I don't think you should take anything away from Chris Weidman after beating the best fighter on the planet twice. But he fights Luke Rockhold then, and he loses. Luke Rockhold's championship is not nearly as impressive as it is now after he'd beat Vitor and he beat Machida. I mean, because he had a run as champion, and he was clearly and undisputed the champion. If you start handing the belt off left and right, which we could easily see in this heavyweight division, depending on, you know, how Verdum looks.
No, I mean, I don't think that that's not a given. I mean, anything north of 45, I think that's totally a real thing.
Yes.
If you think for a second that Carlos Condit doesn't have a shot of beating Robbie Lawler, you're not paying attention.
Right. And you could definitely see that. And again, at least with those two dudes, you've got some name brand recognition. I'm not saying you don't have that in the heavyweight division, but let's remember too, this was a division that a while ago went through Tim Sylvia and Gabe Gonzaga, and that championship belt didn't really get any type of shine on it. Because then the next guy would fight. And Randy put some shine on it, and then Brock took it, and then everybody said, well, look at this. Whatever your feelings are about Brock, it was being handed around a lot, and uh-huh. Brock wasn't able to defend it multiple times. So then again, it took a long time for people to kind of, okay, come around to that belt. Look, he's the champ. He's the champ. And then we've seen the back and forth, and we respected Dos Santos or Velasquez as champ. And by default, that respect now has gone to Verdum. I think if you start, if you start having these guys fight each other without kind of thinking a little more long term, everybody just gets beat up. This isn't boxing where guys are protected to get to 25-0.
Well, and
they take that fight.
I wonder if some of that is the weight class, right? Because from a fighting culture, you look at the heavyweight division as Godzilla or King Kong, mm-hmm. right? So if that guy can't hold on to the belt, it makes it a little bit less special, especially at that weight class, because you just assume that when the alpha male of whatever that is shows up and destroys everybody, that's what you expect in the heavyweight division. You expect Mike Tyson,
mm-hmm.
right? You expect the Klitschko's. I know that he lost, but like that's the stuff that you're...
You mean the Tyson Furies?
Right.
The guy that Conor McGregor ripped off.
Correct, yes. So, now you've got Tyson Fury, and can Tyson Fury string together a whole bunch of wins and be the top dog and make that heavyweight belt have that shine to it again? I don't know, but I think when you're in the heavyweight division, you're 1,000%. You want to see somebody that defends it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times so that it now has a lot of weight when that person loses. Because if the top 5 guys each get to hold it for a fight...
Mm-hmm.
I think you're doing something wrong.
Right. And to do this, you've got to make sure too that you've got your top 5 guys aren't all killing each other. And you really do. And again, I'm not trying to say you set this up so fighters are always going to win their fights coming up. But I mean, when you've got a situation where it's going to be Stipe and Andrei Arlovsky and Alistair Overeem and Travis Brown probably gets back in that mix too. I get why you want to see all these guys fight each other, but I don't necessarily know if in this new UFC, once you break the top five, that's what you should have to be doing. It was the same reason Miesha Tate was kept getting pissed. Is she had to fight harder competition than Ronda, and she was beating everybody. And what happened at that point, we were down to the 10th contender. Now, that didn't work out for Ronda Rousey, but right. Think about it. That's where we were with Ronda Rousey because, oh, crap, Miesha Tate beat everybody up. Now, wouldn't that have been more productive for the UFC to have a couple of fighters in the top five that Ronda Rousey had never fought? Well, they weren't in the top five anymore because Miesha Tate beat a lot of them, too. So it's a real interesting dynamic to watch what's going to happen here. And I guess we just go all the way back to the original point I was making, was 6 weeks for Overeem to wait and see what happens after the Stipe and Arlovsky fight. You know, I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting because if that's a bad fight, you could see Andrei Arlovsky use last night to be in a championship fight, depending on who wins that Verdum and Velasquez fight. And if Verdum wins and you've got the guy that was on Fox,
yep,
that beat the crap JDS. Out of JDS, you know, that's a fight right there. And as much as I've talked about how cool it was Andrei Arlovsky just kept sneaking back in the picture, you've got a headliner there. You've got Overeem and you've got Verdum for the title.
Well, and I was saying this on Saturday night, and then we'll move on and wrap this up.
But they're going to have to pay him a lot for that.
They are going to have to pay him a lot for that. But what I was saying is, you know, looking at that performance and what he did and how much of an underdog he was and all of that stuff, you begin to get romantic, or I at least begin to get romantic about glory days, Alistair Overeem. And, you know, I said this on Twitter on Saturday night, like, could 2016, could Overeem be the Robbie Lawler of 2016?
Because he's a little bit older, though, right?
He is a little bit older, but what I'm saying is, like, he's finally figured it out. He put together a spectacular performance against JDS. You put him against Stipe, or you put him against Arlovsky. He beats both of them, and then he gets a title shot, and he wins the title. That's a pretty kick-ass story for 2016.
Yeah, I mean, especially for a guy with so much love in the Pride days, for those that were fans then, and I get that that's not a large group of people watching now, but, I mean, you've got a lot you can kind of... reference back to. I mean, you know, and he's a guy, again, he beat the biggest, baddest dude on the planet, Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
And that was one of the biggest fights in UFC history. Let's not forget, every time Brock fought, that was one of the biggest fights in UFC history.
Yep.
Pay-per-view buys,
sure.
Everything. So, you know, he was on that stage too. And if you don't think we're going to see him kicking Brock in the gut 1,000 times in a promo leading up to a title fight, you're insane. We'll probably see more of that than we'll see
the JDS.
The JDS fight.
Sure.
That was on Fox. So, I mean, he's in a spot right now. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that deserve, when they get some runs later in their career, to get that shot or be close to it. There's, you know, name recognition's a thing. Fights you've taken in the past is a thing. And it's the same reason, you know, we've been arguing about some of those other fighters in the division, like Andrei Arlovsky. Dude was a former UFC champ. You know, he was actually in that run we talked about of guys who didn't seem to be able to keep the belt. You know, I think he lost it to Gabe, if I remember correctly. Was
probably,
that Tim Sylvia?
Yeah.
See, that's we got to have somebody with a couple of runs. And that's a big, scary dude back then. And he, you know, it's very interesting to look at this heavyweight division. We should see more of it shake out by the end of next week. Obviously, if we're looking at that Super Bowl card, is that not confirmed? That is so strange.
It's still not confirmed. It's not on. I mean, if you go to MMA Weekly, which has a pretty good calendar, they don't have it on there confirmed.
Yeah, it's like, but UFC, no, they haven't. They're like, maybe something's happened that weekend. We're pretty sure.
Yeah, we're 6 weeks out. We'll figure
it out. Well, we got 15 fight pass cards.
We only have three between now and then. You've got this card next weekend, and then there's a fight night, and then there's something
UFC
else.
UFC does have it. Wow, they're okay, intern that's listening, why do I have to go 7 clicks into your site to find a schedule for a championship fight?
So it's confirmed?
It's on their site.
Okay.
So that's going to be the Super Bowl card, which is good. You can click at a bar near you, too.
Very cool.
That's convenient.
How exciting.
Couple, if you get there.
A couple pieces of news before we wrap up for the week. Juliana Pena arrested over the weekend for assault in a bar. She was arrested on 2 counts of assault, and we'll keep you posted as to what's going on there. The UFC is quoted as saying they are aware of the situation and trying to figure it out, but this also could be...
How'd they score it?
I think it was 10-8, 10-7. 10-6? I don't know.
Point taken away for grabbing the bar as you fell down.
Yes. I think this will be continuing to be a storyline, as we head into 2016. Is
that the Karate Hottie?
It is not the Karate Hottie.
Then I think it's not a big deal.
I will play a siren every time we talk about the Karate Hottie.
Okay.
Okay? This is not her.
I'll bring my headphones next week.
Fair enough. You know, this will be a continuing storyline as we talk about the outside the cage violence that happens with these fighters and what that does from a branding perspective, because this was somebody that people wanted to fight Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, these sorts of things make it difficult to tell that story.
Well, these things too. And I don't know anything about the fight. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, and
I don't,
it was a bar fight.
Yeah.
But you know, and this is one thing that some of the female fighters are going to have to deal with. Because for better or worse, if you or I got drunk and decided to go out and try to take a shot at Nate Diaz and he put us on the ground, everybody's going to go, wow, those idiots got drunk and tried to take a shot at Nate Diaz.
Sure.
Dummies. For the female fighters, this is skewed. This is skewed a lot, and it's not in their favor. If some drunk chick decides to take a shot at a UFC fighter not knowing she's a UFC fighter and she puts her on the ground, we almost look at this situation like when a man hits a woman. Like, well, how dare, what are you thinking hitting that girl? What are you thinking? You're a trained UFC fighter. You fight with men when you spar. You train with men and you beat this woman up. That's a perception that these female fighters have to deal with if they get themselves in these situations. Is it or isn't it fair? I'm not sure, but
well,
it's simply there.
And this is, you know, this is...
if she beat the crap out of a dude, we're all going to go, that dude got drunk and tried to beat up an MMA fighter.
She was arrested in charges with 2 counts of assault by the Spokane, Washington Police Department. They have investigated and arrested Juliana Pena and another person. So... We'll wait.
She beat the crap out of some drunk dude. I don't have a problem with it.
We'll wait and see what happens there.
That's where we live.
The last piece of news is that, well, it isn't really news, although I just find it kind of interesting. As of December 19th, Fedor officially has a opponent for his New Year's Eve fight, which is an old opponent that was off again and on again. Jadeep Singh is now the guy. So get excited.
Jadeep Singh?
Get excited. He's 2-0.
I feel like he needs a junior on his name or something.
Former kickboxer, because that'll work out well.
Jadeep Singh.
So look for that to happen. If you have no plans on New Year's Eve and you want to watch something that isn't Bellator but sort of Bellator, this is your sort of kind of Bellator fight of New Year's Eve weekend.
I don't know if I want to watch this.
Well, I mean,
when is it on?
I don't have any. I mean,
is it like one of those things where I got to get up at 4? Because I used to do that a lot. By the way, I want to go back to, since we're talking scheduling and the UFC and not being sure, even though they've got their Super Bowl card. I want to show Eric this, and maybe he can take a picture and put it on Facebook. Why is Cain Velasquez Shadow Man?
Oh, wow.
Like, usually Shadow Man's reserved for fighters without a Wikipedia page.
That's interesting.
So I'm not sure how confirmed this is, even on the UFC site. They've got a picture of Cain Velasquez, I'm pretty sure.
I would assume.
I think they've taken a photo or two. They hired a guy once, probably, to get a picture. Like, why is there no picture of Cain Velasquez on this fight card?
Who else is the other shadow guy?
The other shadow guy is Grabowski.
Oh, gotcha.
See, yeah, exactly.
Totally.
I mean, Rosholt, the guy fighting Nelson?
Jared Rosholt?
Yeah, he's got a picture.
Of course he does.
But Cain Velasquez, we couldn't dig something up.
No, they're all out of photos. They ran out of their Shutterstock.
Good God.
Their Shutterstock subscription to Cain Velasquez photos.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting.
So maybe this is, I don't know how sure this is. I don't know how sure. It's on the UFC site, and I don't know anymore.
All right. Have a wonderful Christmas week. We will be back next week. We're going to talk to Joe Duffy. We are also going to talk to the author of a new MMA book called Beast. All of that will happen next week, and plus we'll get you ready.
Is that about Brock Lesnar?
It is not about Brock Lesnar. We will get you ready for Carlos Condit and Robbie Lawler, which will happen on January 2nd.
And Arlovski.
Stipe Miocic. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.